The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. We just read from the Gospel of John about a miracle Jesus did, taking a few loaves of bread and multiplying them for thousands of people. There's a philosophical trend, if you want to call it, that started about 200 years ago over there in Europe. And a bunch of guys who thought they were real smart came together and decided that nothing in the Gospels about Jesus, none of the miracles, could really have been miracles. They must have been either tricks that Jesus did or embellished so much afterwards that we can't really believe in those miracles. We should just listen to maybe the message of Jesus but not pay attention to the miracles. And unfortunately, those guys, a lot of people started to read what they were writing, and so there's a kind of, you could say, even among Christians, a tendency to reduce Jesus to just a nice hippie guru guy with sandals and long hair who said nice things, and if you follow Jesus, it means you're a nice person, and that's about it. Well, there's actually, not only is that completely wrong, but it's almost embarrassingly wrong to believe something like that. Because if you go to this scripture passage and read it in the entirety of the Bible, something amazing happens. After the miracle, they say, "Jesus, this is the prophet, the Messiah." What made them think he was the Messiah? Well, let's go in the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them talk about the multiplication of the loaves. And John, in what we read today, it says they were on a mountaintop. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they mention that it was in a deserted place. In Matthew's gospel, we read that Jesus was with them, and it says they were, the disciples say, "Send the crowd away because this is a deserted place," in eremos in Greek. Now, you know I failed Greek in the seminary, have to always re-research every time I have a homily, right? So eremos, what does that word mean in Greek? Well, it means an uninhabited, solitary, deserted place, or a wilderness. So when Matthew was writing this Years later, he was trying to help his Jewish brothers and sisters that would be reading this to realize something special was going to happen. Because for a Jewish person reading this, they would immediately think about something that happened in the Exodus. Okay, in Exodus, we read that Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they marched into the wilderness, the Eremos. You see, for the people of the time of Jesus, they were waiting for the Messiah, and they knew that the Messiah was going to be greater than Moses. He would be a new Moses who would lead them to a new Exodus. That's what the Messiah was going to do. And so when Matthew says Jesus led a group into the wilderness, immediately it brings back this image from Moses. Now Jesus is there. He's on the mountaintop in the wilderness, and he does something else before he does the miracle of the loaves. He tells his 12 apostles to go and organize the people into groups of 50. Now that's important, not so much for the numbers, but Moses, when he got into the desert, he had a problem as well, and that was the Israelites that, you know, had all their complaints all the time. They weren't just complaining about God, they were complaining about each other, and they would bring those problems to Moses, and he couldn't handle it all, so he appointed a number of men who would be judges over Israel. He appointed men for each, he broke up Israel into groups. And so we read that in the book of Exodus, right? He chose able men from all Israel to judge the people. So when Jesus tells the apostles, go and organize the people into groups of 50, he's also doing something powerful because these people around Jesus are the new Israel. And the apostles, there's 12 of them, and there's 12 tribes of Israel. Now, at the same time, when Moses in the desert, he received a lot of rules to follow from God, and one of them had to do with how they were supposed to set up their camp around the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, the meeting tent. And so Moses in Numbers, it says that the Lord told Moses that they would have the people by families in a circle around the meeting tent. And so Jesus on a mountaintop, who is the true Holy of Holies, with all of these people now in a circle around him, organized by families, you see how there's this powerful link from the Old Testament into the New. And so then Jesus, he has the crowd there, he has the loaves, he gives those to the apostles. And we remember, as the people were receiving that from Jesus, they remembered that in Exodus, God told Moses he would rain down bread from heaven. And so Jesus gives them the new manna. Okay, now this is powerful also because in the time of Jesus, they thought of the Messiah as one who would also give them an abundance of God's blessings. If you remember in Cana, Jesus changed the water to wine. But it was already the end of the party. They didn't need a whole lot of wine, but Jesus made 6 huge jars full, which my brother told me should have been around 900 bottles of wine. Now, you know how much I trust in my brother's judgment on those things, but that's what he said. So a lot of wine, and Jesus makes a lot of bread. Because they had 12 baskets full, and they fed everyone, and they still had 12 baskets full. That's a symbol that Jesus was giving them bread today, but also bread for a tomorrow. And where is that tomorrow? That tomorrow is today, because this morning we came into this holy place, this Eremos, this place where we would encounter God. And we stood up and we sang the Gloria as we welcomed our Heavenly Father. Then we sat down, and what did we do? We listened to the Word of God. He taught us. And we are now about to go to the second part of our Mass, which is to receive the bread of life, the new and truest manna, bread from heaven. That is why for these men hundreds of years ago to just think, oh, this was just a miracle, you know, Jesus was being generous and it made everyone else be generous, so they just shared the bread and it was a miracle of kindness, right? That is so not true and not what Jesus was doing here. And so today, as we are about to receive this bread from heaven, we're part of this story now. What happened in Exodus in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the time of Jesus and now continues today until the end of time. And we are a part of it. And that is why it is so awesome to be a Catholic Christian.